This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Once again, welcome to America Tonight. It's all about the Democrats anyway. This time it's their turn in Philadelphia. The biggest thing coming out of Philly is the fact that Tim Kaine, the VP, addressed the people that were assembled in Philly at the DNC to talk about or praise Hillary Clinton, I guess is the way to perhaps put that. I think even bigger than, in my opinion, than Kaine coming out and trying to rally the Democrats, all factions of the party, whether they're liberal or moderate, is Joe Biden saying that, because he was also on the stage, saying that Donald Trump has no clue, period. He delivered a speech to the DNC that where he even touched on the loss, sadly, of his son, Beau Biden, but he told the crowd at Wells Fargo Arena that Trump had no clue about what makes America great. Actually, he has no clue, period. And the crowd started screaming out, not a clue, not a clue. And he also referred to Trump's signature line from The Apprentice. He said his lack of empathy can be summed up in a phrase he made famous, you're fired. He called Trump a man who confused bluster with strength. And then he talked about, as I mentioned, his son, Beau Biden, who died last year of brain cancer, and how he had placed his name into nomination for VP at the 2008 Democratic Convention, if you remember that. But he used it as a platform to talk about cancer a bit. He said, we think about the countless thousands of others who have suffered so much more than we have with so much less support. And, you know, he said, we endure, we overcome, we always move forward. So Biden, who decided it is against a run for president, says his timing wasn't right as his family coped with the loss of Beau. And he, again, took the slap at Trump, mentioned his son, was embraced by the crowd. Not surprisingly, Joe Biden is somebody who has been around in the Democratic Party and has been there throughout the Obama administration, obviously, as the vice president. So another strong endorsement for Hillary, more of what's coming out of Philadelphia. But frankly, just like the Republicans, it's more about a pep rally than anything else when you look at what happens at these conventions, frankly. I mean, that's really what they're set up for, kind of to give back to, I think, to give back to the delegates, come up with a nominee, get a few of the big party bigwigs to speak, and then move on. It is, I'll say it again, I've emphasized it, I said it in the first hour, it's about those debates. The debates are going to be fascinating, and it's a question of how Hillary comes out, how Trump comes out, and then split the difference and who are the independents going to go rally to. What side are they going to choose? Because really, it's like sports teams anymore when you talk about Democrats and the Republicans. So it all moves on at the DNC, and the biggest deal now really is probably in the wrap for Hillary to address the crowd as the nominee for the party, because she's obviously the official nominee. A couple of other interesting, I think, sidebars to the DNC, and because it's the Democrats' turn, is WikiLeaks released the hacked Democratic National Committee audio files. Too bad for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She was pressured so much, and we know that Bernie Sanders wanted her gone, gone, gone. That became a reality. But the latest release, which happened in the middle of this convention, has had some interesting repercussions. It's the second batch in a series that has rattled the party and prompted Schultz to step down. You know, there was no way she was surviving that. And of course, there was, like I said, calls from Bernie Sanders to say goodbye to the top brass at the DNC, based on some stupid, pathetic things they had done as far as having debates, and when they had them between Clinton and Sanders and a slew of other ridiculous problems that are chasing them around. But the recordings were pulled from the emails of the DNC, and they were obtained because they were hacked. The servers were hacked. So, what do they call them? Hacktivists? The hacktivists are active, and I think these politicians just don't get the power of a giant hack where they're able to get into your emails and whatever phony baloney nonsense is happening outside of the norm. I'll call it the norm in Washington. That becomes fodder for the media, and it's a feeding frenzy. Frankly, I mean, truly a feeding frenzy, if you will. Well, we swing in a different direction at the top of this and look at something else. I talked about Joe Biden. I talked about Hillary Clinton getting ready to address the crowd. I talked about the fact that this is really more of a pep rally and a give back to those that have helped in the process, and you always have to have a lot of those people from the volunteers on up. The most intriguing story that has really tripped my radar is, should, and this is the question, should John Hinckley be released or should he be kept in the institution where he's been since he tried to assassinate President Ronald Reagan? The son of President Reagan was quoted today as saying that his father would have supported a judge's decision to release his would-be assassin because he forgave the shooter a long time ago. So he would have done that. In fact, here's a quote from him. He said, "My father not only could say the Lord's Prayer, but lived in the Lord's Prayer because of his forgiveness of John Hinckley. He wanted to see and visit John Hinckley and to tell him himself, his doctors wouldn't allow him to do it," meaning his son, Ronnie Reagan, let him know that that's the way he would have thought. And just to jog your memory again, Reagan, of course, was shot during the March 30th, 1981 assassination attempt in D.C., underwent immediate surgery. Three others were shot, including a Secret Service agent who stood between the president and Hinckley's bullet, a D.C. police officer, Reagan's press secretary, James Brady. So you get the drift of what that was like, and you still see that footage, and you just, boy, he was so, so close to getting the president. Ugh. So close, scarily so, that they use that old footage for training because of seeing how close he got and how he was fearless in his attempt. But in the beginning of August, once again, he's up for parole, and there is a feeling that he, among a lot of legal folks, he may be able to be released from the facility that he kept all that time. All right, stay with us. More happening in just a moment on America Tonight.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly, certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using the system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Interesting story. He's got a book that tells you all about this story, because I'm telling you, you will read it from cover to cover. It's called The Long Run, and it talks about everything that he went through. When I say everything he went through, first of all, to run the New York City Marathon, I think is incredible. I do. But to run the New York City Marathon after what happened to him as his life changed, boom, in an instant. We all talk about what happens when everything's going along fine, and then something changes dramatically in your life. And Matt was cycling to work in the early morning, and this was in December, before Christmas in 2005, when he was struck and run over by a 20-ton bus making an illegal turn. Matt, thanks so much for coming on the show. And as I say that and you think about those moments, it had to be just unbelievable to you, right? Life is sailing along, and then all of a sudden you're fighting for your life, correct?
Yes, Kate. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. And, yeah, life for me was sailing along. I couldn't have scripted it any better. I was in the best shape of my life and having success in endurance sports. And it's just in an instant, things changed.
So what happened? You had to have some, like, 40 operations, is that right?
In about 16-month period of time, I went through 43 different surgeries, correct.
Wow. And today, you're healthy, right? You feel good? You ran a marathon? What was it? You ran a marathon in 2008?
Yeah, so post-accident, I'm definitely healthy and strong, not without issues. But post-accident, within the three-year mark, I ran the New York City Marathon again. A lot slower than my previous time, but I was able to finish it. After that, I did an Ironman.
Wow. And you talk about in your book what it's like, because obviously you had to fight through despair, fear, I'm sure, physical pain, probably psychological pain. Take us back to that. What do you tell people what that journey was like?
Well, you know, there's two sides of the recovery process. One is physical and the other is mental. Anyone growing up who's played sports or, you know, just has taken a bad fall, broken a bone or two, you know in 6 to 8 weeks your bone is going to heal. So the physical process, it did take time because I had multiple fractures. I had internal damage to my intestines. You know, this was as bad as it gets, as most of my trauma surgeons would tell me. The mental aspect of the recovery was even longer because, you know, there's the period of why me, and then there's the period of, you know, what is my life going to be like, and me, I battled with depression. And, you know, harboring that negative attitude over and over of what happened to me didn't allow me to recover physically, mentally, which is why I pushed myself to go back to marathon and to complete that Ironman one more time because I needed to recover mentally.
When you first took that step, how tough was that to take that step? But when you make the leap, then you start to do it and do it and do it, and that's all you're thinking about the future?
100%. Once I realized that things weren't going to get better unless I accepted what happened to me. You know, a lot of people talk about overcoming adversity, and I needed not to overcome the adversity, but accept the adversity that was thrown my way, you know, accept this accident, accept what my new body is capable of doing, and then I went full steam ahead saying, okay, let's get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. And you tell people that, right? That's the idea. You're trying to certainly encourage people that no matter what's going on in your life, you can get through this. You can shake those walls down, right?
Absolutely. I'm lucky enough now. You know, it's been 10 years since the accident, and I'm lucky enough to travel the country giving some motivational, inspirational talks or just via email from people that have reached out to my foundation that with the right attitude, anything is possible. And you may not be the same person you were before, you know, your traumatic experience, but it's possible to be better. It's possible to be the best you can be. And that's what I like to tell people. It's like, you know, you have to have the right attitude. If you wake up in the morning and the first two words are, I can't, I tell people to go back to bed.
So it's just, you just, and that mindset, some people will say, Matt, well, Matt, geez, I admire you. Gosh, what you went through, that's incredible. But you must have had that deep inside you. I've heard people say things like that. And do you tell them you just keep doing it? You just keep repeating that mantra until it becomes what you wear every day?
Absolutely. That's the best way to go through life. If you have a goal or a dream, you go after it. And, you may or may not get there fully, but if you look back from where you started that dream, behind you is success. It's the levels of success. So you got to keep going forward. Keep your eye on the prize because it happens.
Tell us about your foundation. You mentioned the foundation. Tell us what the foundation does.
My foundation is simply called the I Will Foundation, and that was my mantra, I will. And we help people who have suffered life-altering traumatic injuries or illnesses. Just get back into life, get back into feeling their competitive nature again, or just living their life as full as possible, no matter what their ailments are. So we've helped an Army captain coming home from the war who lost both his legs. I recently had an athlete in the Ironman in Hawaii who was electrocuted about 13 years ago and lost both his arms. And my foundation built him a bike, a special bike, brakes on the top tube. He brakes with his knee. It was just an incredible thing. And he competed in the Ironman.
Wow. And these are obviously rewarding things for you. What has been the most rewarding thing for you so far that you've been able to do because of the fact that you're out there, that you're telling people your story, that you're showing people the way that they can overcome whatever's happened to them?
The most rewarding thing for me or the most rewarding thing that I've done for someone else?
Yeah, the most rewarding thing for you and the most rewarding thing that you've done for someone else.
Well, I mean, post-accident, physically, the most rewarding thing for me was finishing the Ironman at Lake Placid, New York in 2009. But more incredibly, getting married and having my baby, Charlie, you know, something that the doctor said would never happen. So I have a baby girl, she's 3 years old, and it's just something. something I never thought would happen before my accident. I just didn't think I was the type of person to get married. But now, not only did I defy physical odds, I was able to have a baby and I have a beautiful family. So that for me right now is just tops. But what I've been able to do or encourage other people to do, you know, it's when I go out and give a talk, it's funny. It's like, you know, it's like going to your kid's school and you're the teacher and the kids never raise their hand because there's no questions. They're embarrassed. Well, I go out and I speak to professionals. I speak to doctors. I speak to college students and they're always shy when it comes to Q&A. But when I leave the room and I get that one-on-one moment with someone in the elevator that just heard me speak and that's when they open up to me. So if I connect with one person in an audience, that's the biggest reward I can get with my story. As long as I know I'm helping one person at a time, there's life is bad for a lot of people, and sometimes not fair. But if you stay tough, you stay positive, you'll push through it.
I love that.
Thank you, Kate.
Yeah, and we're speaking with Matt Long, and Matt, so that's so true. If you're going through something, and people are listening to us now, Christmas can be tough for people. They've lost people. Something else has happened to them. It's just getting through the tunnel and being, when you say also, because obviously you get this, it's being persistent and not giving up, being tenacious, right?
100%. I wouldn't have said it any differently. I like to tell people when dreaming and setting goals are the same exact thing, except when you set a goal, you have to commit, you have to plan, and you have to sacrifice. When we dream, we just think it's going to happen.
Right? That's true.
Yeah, and if you commit to that plan, now you're going to have to take detours once in a while. But if you commit to that plan, keep yourself on track, you will have success. No doubt.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. I love it. So I would assume, Matt, if anybody wants to get a copy of your book, you just go to Amazon.com, The Long Run.
Amazon.com, The Long Run, yes.
And what if somebody What if somebody wants to help you with your foundation?
They could visit IWillFoundation.com. There's ways to support there. Shoot me an email at MattLongSpeaker.com. Both sites are kind of interlinked. They tell my story and stories of people we've helped. So either way, they shoot out with an email and you know, we're always, it's a very small, low key foundation. I get an email. If I have the funds, I help them. If I can generate the funds, I help them do that.
I love it. Matt Long, Merry Merry to you and yours. I love your story. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. Merry Christmas.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus, from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, call 1-800-933-1430. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why 90% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU Online degrees, call 1-800-933-1430. That's 1-800-933-1430.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's A Place for Answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9859. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9859. Call 1-800-958-9859. 1-800-958-9859.
Can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said.
Thanks for hanging with us here on America Tonight. In our virtual green room, sitting there right now, is Florence and Romano. Easy for me to say. Romano, like the Ray Romano. She's probably related to Ray Romano. You can tell
I would be a whole lot funnier if I was.
Exactly. Exactly. I think I was emceeing a program too late today. Okay, so Florence has an interesting thing that we're going to talk about here. And, you know, we can't help ourselves. We're like rubberneckers when we see the Gwen Stefani and Gavin, her husband Gavin's divorce. And saying that he cheated on her with the nanny, then everybody rolls their eyes, even people who aren't invested in celebrities, and say, oh, didn't that happen with 5 different people? Everybody knows the story.
Right.
And it just makes you wonder. So Florence's book is called The Windy City Nanny. So what is the scoop on that, Florence, about, you know, I just have to say this. That there was the stuff with, what's her name? Gosh, she's so cute. Jen Garner and Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, yes.
Yeah, and there was conversation about that and their personal life and that the nanny was cute and that he was off with the nanny as all that was breaking apart. So it seems like a lot of celebrity families are going through these breakups because the husband's cheating with the nanny. What's the deal with that?
You know, I'll tell you, the scandalosity factor revolving around celebrities, it feels just like you're saying that it's happening all the time in all these different families. And I'm here to tell you that regular families, this is not happening to them. You know, 60% of families in America have nannies. And, you know, in writing my book, Nanny and Me, I wanted to start a national conversation about child care, whether that's a nanny or a babysitter, and what's going on in those homes. And the nanny nanny like Mindy and the Gwen and Gavin debacle. It's nannies like that that are giving the rest of these wonderful nannies a bad name. And I try to push against that stereotype as much as I can, because most nannies that are hired to do the thing that they were hired to do, and that's to take care of the children, and that's their number one focus.
Yeah, so if somebody's hiring a nanny, as you said, this isn't the norm, what are the things that you look for?
One of my hard and steadfast rules regarding the nanny process at all is that of transparency. You need to get to know your nanny on a real level. What are his or her hobbies? What do they like to do in their spare time? Passionate about? What are their principles? You know, this is the only time you can really have an interview like this. Corporate America, that's just not going to fly. But here, when you're interviewing the person that's going to take care of your most precious possessions, you can ask anything you want, really, in those interviews. And the more comfortable you are with the nanny, and the more interviews you have, I, for example, suggest a tiered process. That first interview, you and your spouse get together with the nanny, talk over a cup of coffee. Second interview, bring them into the home. Let them interact with the kids. My big secret is, after that prospective nanny leaves, talk to your children. See what they think. They have the best instincts, and you don't want to discount those.
Yeah, boy, that's good advice. Absolutely. So as you said, you wrote the book, Nanny and Me. And tell us a little bit more about that. Flesh that out for us.
I started nannying at the age of 11, and
wow.
That sounds young, doesn't it? Who are those moms leaving me with their kids? But started as a mother's helper and went into a portion of adulthood, and I started looking at the children's book market, and I wanted to try to find something that helped children understand the transition from being cared for by their parents to being cared for by a nanny or a caretaker. And I was really disappointed not to find anything, and I thought, you know what? Based on my experience as a nanny, I would like to write that story. And so I did, and told the story from the perspective of the child, and now parents are using it as a tool to help during that transition.
You know, it's interesting, as you say, 11. Wow, that's amazing that you started at 11. So you definitely had, you had a resume. I mean, you weren't 15 and you already had a resume, which is wild. You had a roadmap. You had a roadmap, Florence, there's no question. So do you think when parents hire a nanny, there should be some sort of dress code so you don't have, like, you see these hot, sexy nannies of the celebrities like we were just talking about. For goodness sake, wouldn't it be easy to say, can we just have regular jeans and a T-shirt? Right?
Absolutely. I think just like any company, any employer, they can require a dress code, and the same can be said for a nanny, from a uniform to, you know, certain types of street clothes. You know, the thing to remember is it's not the best thing for you. It's the best thing for that family and those children. So if your principles don't line up, if you're not on the same page during the interview process, then that's not the family for you. That's not the nanny for you, and that's okay. But it's important to remember that.
Yeah, exactly. It's important to remember that. Those are the key words. So then there is the other part of it. You know, we've seen the commercials or movies where they sort of feature this, and sometimes in a joking way, but it wouldn't be joking if it happened in real life. What if you are this girl or this young woman just doing your job, and then all of a sudden the father makes some kind of an advance on you?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say if either spouse makes an advance on you, in either case, the nanny should go directly to the other spouse and tell them immediately and then resign. I wouldn't even give it a trial period, to be honest with you. You need it to stop, because you think of it this way. If you don't put a stop to it in the very beginning, then you look guilty as well for having participated at all. You know, and it also, something important to remember is, in a situation like that where there has been an infidelity or something has happened, you're going to need to talk to your children about that. And just like in cases of divorce, you need to reassure your children that it was nothing they did wrong, that the nanny loved them, you know, had fun with them. All of those things are true. You want to remember that it's still about the child. The focus is still on the child and how to make that as gentle a transition as possible, even if there's things happening personally that a child cannot understand and you don't want them to understand.
Yeah. You did the nanny thing for 15 years. It's about the kids, right? You love the kids when you do this.
Absolutely. It's all about the children. I say the pillars of being a nanny for me were based on trust, love, and joy. If you can remember those three things with your relationship with the children and your relationship with the parents, I think it's win-win.
I love that. So if somebody wants to get a copy of Nanny and Me, how do they do that?
They can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, or directly to my website, FlorenceAnnRomano.com, and they can get a copy there.
Florence Ann Romano, no relation to Ray Romano. you were a lot of fun. You're a Chicago girl. How could you be related to him? You're a Chicago girl, right?
I know. I am a Chicago girl here in the Windy City, and that wind is definitely moving and grooving today.
I love Chicago, but I know all about that wind. I've spent, you know, the people think it's a joke, Florence, when you say that there's actually rope sometimes on Michigan Avenue so you can hold on to them so you don't fall over. It's the truth. I thought it was a lie, but it's true.
My favorite is when they have the signs out that say caution falling ice. I'm like, well, if it's coming after me, it's kind of too late, isn't it? So I don't know what to do with that.
Oh, you're a delight. Don't be a stranger. We'll have you back on again. Thanks.
I would love it. What a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. So Florence, again, talking about the nanny thing, it's crazy. It is. It's crazy because even if you're not like one of those people, you're absorbing all these celeb magazines or whatever, you can't help it. You go to the checkout, and that's all you see. And especially lately, there have been a whole bunch of those couples. All right, here in America Tonight, you know how we wildly talk about a whole bunch of different things, including coming up a conversation with Brandon Lang about what's up with Week 11 in the NFL. Let's go to Tomas, though, first in Michigan. Hello, Tomas.
Well, Kate, I was just doing a little studying here, and I've got some interesting numbers for you.
Oh, let's hear it.
The capital of Russia is Moscow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So what percentage would you think is the percentage of the Muslim population in Moscow?
I'll say 20%.
Exactly.
Mm.
That's bad. But
that is bad.
What do you think the percentage of the military is Muslim?
This I have no idea. I would think it'd be lower. Is it lower?
No, it's 40%.
Ah. Say that number again, 40%? Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, that's crazy.
You see, because immigration always involves the men first, because the men are hardier, you know, and they get the jobs and they bring in the women. But when the men show up, and many of them are military age, the recruiters, they just, you know, I mean, the Irish, when they came over here, you know, the army just grabbed them and put them into the cavalry, you know, by the dozen some. And so right there, you get to see why Russia now is in such a situation, because they can't go in there now and land troops because almost half their troops are Muslims. You see? And the same thing, you know. Matter of fact, I believe just because we're talking about this now, this is going to be the discussion now next week. Demographics. Demographics with the immigration in the United States. Demographics with immigration in Europe, you know, with the European birth rate, just losing ground. All these things. This is a big driving force.
No kidding.
Yeah, and, you know, look at Saudi Arabia, you know. I mean, half their country is you know, servants and immigrants from other countries who have no loyalty to the Saudi family. So I just wanted to share those numbers with you, Kate, because...
Those numbers are crazy.
You know,
crazy.
Not many people know them.
Yeah, I'm glad you did that, Tomas. As always, fabulous call, because we're talking about that. We're talking about, you know, you can't deny what's actually happening. So 20% is pretty big, but I definitely didn't know that 40%. That really does tell you something. Coming up next, Brandon Lang, Week 11 in the NFL. Stay with us.
Hey.
paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Did you know that a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-952-2797.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs, and it eliminates the daily hassle of washing your system by hand. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto! Your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer. Only available by calling 1-800-952-2797. That's 1-800-952-2797.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
To suggest that someone as qualified and respected as Merrick Garland doesn't even deserve a hearing, let alone an up or down vote, to join an institution as important as our Supreme Court, when two-thirds of Americans believe otherwise, that would be unprecedented.
They're my father, who ran the smallest of small businesses from a room in our basement, took me with him as he made the rounds to his customers, always impressing upon me the importance of hard work and fair dealing.
The president has spoken, and he nominates the man you just heard, Merrick Garland. The big question, who is Merrick Garland? If you talk to super conservative Republicans, they say too liberal. If you talk to super liberal people inside the Beltway, which I did today, they say not very liberal, somewhere in between. But the bottom line is this. Will he get through the Senate nominating process or get booted in the end? I think we know the answer to that. I'm going to let you all chime in. 855-266-5283. 855-266-KATE here on America Tonight as we traverse through the nooks and crannies. Joining us now, he's in our virtual green room, legal and constitutional scholar Byron Henry. He's with Sheaf and Stone. he is a partner in the appellate law section of that law firm, with this practice focusing on the areas of business litigation and civil appeals, by the way. And as I said, he is a constitutional scholar, perfect guy for us to have on the show. Byron, thanks for coming on.
Great to be with you, Kate.
So you heard the announcement. What was your initial reaction?
Well, brutally honest, my initial reaction was that the nomination by President Obama of Chief Judge Merrick Garland was a basically sort of a sacrificial lamb type, so to speak, because President Obama does not believe that the Republican Congress or Republican Senate is going to relent and actually hold hearings. Therefore, he picked an older, more moderate, more difficult person for Republicans to argue against and make it very political, very difficult for them politically in this campaign season with the presidential election coming up, without going to the young, ideologically liberal stars on the bench that liberals can draw on. If Hillary Clinton wins the presidency, he basically puts someone out there that's less liberal, older, he's white, he's a white male, and therefore, you know, if he doesn't get through, that's fine. He still has a good job on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals as chief judge, but it did not throw one of the more up-and-coming stars of the Democratic Party on the bench to the wolves, so to speak, to just kind of die on the vine in this bitterly fought presidential campaign year.
Yeah, absolutely. And the president had considered him before, but ultimately the two appointments he had, or the nominations he had, went to Justices Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan, not in his direction. So this was a way to come back. And as you mentioned, he is the chief judge for the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. In fact, he was appointed, people might remember, by Bill Clinton in 1997. So what is the upside, I suppose? Let's look at it from two different angles. What's the upside for the Prez in doing this? Is he kind of saying to the Republicans who were putting it out there that this isn't the time to nominate, there's not enough time left in the year, and this should be really the job of the next president? Is it kind of saying to them, no, I'm the president still, and I'm going to do this?
Well, I think it's more than just that, because the president certainly has the constitutional authority and discretion to nominate an associate justice, even if it's the last day of his term. So he can do that. I think what the message really is to the Republicans are, you say you won't even hold hearings, but you won't even consider a nominee. So what I'm going to give you is basically the prototypical consensus nominee whom both Orrin Hatch and others in the Senate, Chuck Grassley and others, have commended on the floor when he was nominated in the past for the Circuit Court of Appeals as being very moderate, as being distinguished, as being brilliant. And so therefore he's going to basically call their bluff, so to speak, and say, okay, I didn't nominate a firebrand. I didn't nominate someone with a past. I nominated a career prosecutor, public servant, just an all-around well-respected jurist with no negative marks in his record or in his past. And let's basically see you not even consider a nominee that you would have begged for 2 years ago or 3 years ago when I was right after I was reelected. And I think that's really what this is about.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that Garland said today was, fidelity to the Constitution and the law has been the cornerstone of my professional life, that it's about the Constitution. As somebody who is a constitutional scholar, is that true?
Well, I mean, certainly, let's put it this way. All terms are relative. Moderates, relative, dedication to the Constitution is relative. Every Supreme Court justice would say, liberal or conservative, they're dedicated to hewing close to the Constitution. The issue here is, this is not going to be about Chief Judge Garland. The issue is not about his ideology or his credentials, because the Republicans drew a line in the sand, I think smartly on this occasion, by the way. They drew the line in the sand before the nomination was made, so that they could say, honestly, it didn't matter who was nominated. They weren't going to hold hearings, and they're basically invoking the Biden rule that basically says, if we're in a bitterly fought campaign season, presidential election year, in the last year of a president's term, we are not going to basically throw a nominee to the wolves, or we're not going to have that bitter confirmation fight in that kind of a campaign season. And basically the president said, okay, I'm going to give you a nominee, the most conservative or least liberal nominee you could ever hope to get from a President Obama or a President Hillary Clinton, and see if you're going to stick to your guns.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch this happen. Do you think it's going to be a short process or a long process? And, of course, I'm asking you to look at a crystal ball. I think it'll drag out maybe a little bit.
Well, no, I mean, that's the easy answer, since I've already gone on record in a lot of forums saying I believe the Republican Senate is basically pot committed on this, meaning they're all in with all their chips to the middle of the table. They're not going to hold hearings. They're not going to do the courtesy round that is typical of all Supreme Court nominations. They're not, so there is nothing to drag out. I mean, will it drag out in the public, meaning will there be calls to do for the Senate to do their job and quit violating their constitutional duty? That's going to drag out as long as the nominations. So there is no process, because the Republican senators, Mitch McConnell in particular, who controls basically the floor of the Senate, and Chuck Grassley, who controls the Judiciary Committee, have said there will be no process. Nothing is going to start, so nothing will be dragged out.
Yeah, just in the media and in the public.
That's correct.
Yeah, absolutely. Byron Henry, thanks so much. We appreciate your time.
You're welcome, Kate. Have a good evening.
Yeah, you too. Good stuff. So you heard him say he's right. They threw down the gauntlet at the beginning. So if I'm a strategist, that is the right move to make, because the chances of doing the let's just have the show, let's just do the circus, even though we're going to say no, 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 is really not that good. I said at the beginning of the hour, 1,000 to 1, you know, come on. So the White House keeps pushing that he has more federal judicial experience than any other Supreme Court nominee in history, because he's got 19 years on the D.C. Circuit Court, and you know, that's really considered the second most important court. And if you look at the investigations that he's led, at the case against Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh certainly was one of those. You know, it's interesting, because somebody said to me, well, wait a second, don't just necessarily assume that. If Garland succeeds in getting the seat of Justice Antonin Scalia, he would be the rival to Scalia's very, very colorful writing style. So, you know, that's considered to be, as somebody said to me today, you know, look at some of the cases that are up, and look what he could be a part of if he were to be nominated. But to Byron Henry's point, it's not going to happen, because if they've said, if the Senate Republicans, you know, Mitch McConnell coming out today, we're not going to do it, we're not going to have the hearings, then it's not going to happen. They control that process. In fact, coming up, we're going to let you hear what Senator Orrin Hatch had to say. And you know, Byron mentioned this. If you go back to 2010, when it was Justice John Paul Stevens, they were looking for a successor. Orrin Hatch, Republican senator, called him a consensus nominee. So now, what is Hatch saying about this nomination and this process? Has he changed his tune in 2016? Find out on the flip side.
Mobile devices right against our bodies every day. But growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.